As I was sharing this message on staying focused, it got me to thinking that this word kept coming up in my heart, unified. So that's where I just said a unified purpose. But I took the time to just look up some definitions of being unified. When we've been talking about staying focused and setting our affections on things above and not on things of this earth in our previous lessons. And I wanted to share today about having what? A unified purpose. Now, when we are unified, it means to be what? United. That's one word you could just see right in that. If you're unified, it means you're united, or you're what? You're in harmony with each other, or you're in harmony with a purpose in what we believe, or in what we believe. It means to come together as a single unit. So if you're unified, you know, anybody, I'm looking at somebody down here in the end here, he played sports, he knows what I'm talking about. If you are unified, you come together as a single unit. Pastor Greg played semi-professional basketball. When you played, he always taught, he tells me in private, hey, we weren't as good as them, but we played as a team, and he'd always say, we got in their head, right? So they may have been better, but we came together as a unit. What does that mean? They were united. They were unified as a team, right? So we need to be unified in our purpose, and we need to work as a unit, as a team. So when we are what? When we are not unified, what are you? You're separated from each other, and you're not joined together in a purpose. So you could say we are not in what? Unity. We're not in unity, and we're not in harmony with each other. Or you could say you're not in unity with what? The Word of God. So whether or not, you know, when we say we're unified, you could talk, you could look at that as a group of people, a church, a husband and wife, whatever, however you want to do it. But if you're an individual, when you talk about being unified, you're in unity with the Word of God. So you're in unity with the Word of God. So when you're unified, you're focused, right? When you are unified, you are focused in your purpose as a body or an individual, if you're unified. So when you're unified or you have a unified purpose, one of the scriptures that came up to me in my thinking and just jotted it down was James 1:22. We are to be what? Doers of the word and not hearers only. I like this in the New Living Translation because it makes it plain. It says, but you don't just listen to God's word, you must do what it says. Otherwise, you're only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey it, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, you walk away, and you forget what you look like. Right? But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, and if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. And then it goes on and it says in verse 26, if you claim to be religious, but don't control your tongue, you are fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. So this is an area right here, and you know, you can go and look at James, the rest of the book of James, when it talks about the tongue is a problem. And so this says here, you can claim to be religious, but if you don't have what? If you don't control your tongue, you're fooling yourself and your religion is worthless. So we need to watch what we say. And isn't it evident today when we look around, so much is being shared or spoken towards each other as the body. So in the body of Christ. So that tells you right there, we're not in unity. And I don't think God's pleased with that. I don't think he is. So we are the body of Christ in the earth, and as his children, we should be what? A reflection of the head. So we've talked about, you know, all of the different things that can capture our attention in life. You know, all the various things that can distract us or capture our attention and cause us to be pulled away from what our purpose is. And, you know, again, what is the scripture? As a born-again believer, as a person who's a new creature, he said, any man that's in Christ is what? Or if you're, the Amplified says, if you're engrafted in Christ, you're a brand new person. And I like what the Amplified said. It says, the old previous moral and spiritual condition has passed away. That means I should be different. I should talk different. I should think different. I should have different purposes in my life, different things that I should be focused on, right? And what does the scripture say? 2 Corinthians 5:7, we're to walk by faith and not by what we see. We're to walk by faith and not by what we see or by sight. Or it just means, you know, we walk, it means to regulate your life. You know, the things, how you conduct yourself, your convictions. Romans chapter 12 and verse 2 in the Message translation, Romans 12:2, we've heard it so often. It says, don't become so well adjusted to your culture that you fit in into it without even thinking. Instead, what does it say? Instead, fix your attention on God. You'll be changed from the inside out. Readily recognize what he wants from you. Quickly do what? Respond to it. That means you obey. Unlike the culture around you, always dragging you down to its level of immaturity, God brings the best out of you, develops well-formed maturity in you. So if we're the body and he's the head, we shouldn't be dragging other people down to a level of immaturity. We should be bringing the best out of everyone, as much as lieth within us. Colossians 2:6-7-8 in the New Living. It says, and now just as you accepted Christ Jesus as your Lord, you must continue to follow him. This is what I like here. Verse 7, let your roots grow down into him and let your lives be built on him. Then your faith will grow strong in the truth you were taught, and you will overflow with thankfulness. Don't let anyone capture you with empty philosophies and high-sounding nonsense that come from what? Human thinking and from the spiritual powers of this world rather than from Christ. So watch what we listen to. Watch what we meditate. Set like it says in Colossians 3:1. Look at the New Living Translation, Colossians 3:1 and 2. And in chapter 3 and verse 1 and 2, it says, since you have been raised, what? to a new life with Christ. You're a brand new person. Different things to think about, different purposes. It says, since you've done that, set your what? Sights on the realities of heaven, where Christ sits in the place of honor at God's right hand. Verse 2, think about the things of heaven, not the things of earth. For you died to this life, and your real life is hidden with Christ in God. That's our real life. And we need to be thinking more. You know, his return is so close. I remember, I think it was back in 2013, we were at Winter Bible Seminar, and Brother Hagen, Pastor Hagen, had a vision. He had an open vision. He was standing at the pulpit like this, and he started to just, he got over in the spirit. And he said, oh, he said, I see it, Lord. He said, I could reach out. He said, the veil between here and eternity is so thin. It's thinner than it used to be. He said, it's so thin, I could reach out almost, and it looks like I could just reach out almost into eternity. That's how close we are. So we need not be thinking and getting caught up. The devil's pulled out all the stops to create distractions so that we're not unified in purpose to reach people and to share the good news of the gospel. We're caught up in some foolishness. And that's what it's meant to do, is to distract and get us pulled away from God's purpose, right? John 13, 34 and 35, New Living Translation. So this is our commandment. This is it right here. It says, so now I'm giving you a new commandment. Love each other just as I have loved you. You should love each other. Your love for one another will do what? Prove to the world that you are my disciples. This love that we have towards one another is going to do what? Prove to the world. Interesting, isn't it? This is Jesus speaking. These are eternal words. And the devil knows this. He knows there's power in the word of God. There's power in love. Just think about this. You know, we all hear this. Oh, there's going to be a great revival, and there's going to be a great awakening, and there's going to be greater glory, like greater than Azusa Street. Yes, there is. But you know what can hinder that? Walking not in the love of God. It'll hinder things. And so we need to make sure that we're purposing that we are going to walk in the love of God so that his glory works in and through us and manifests in and through us. And wherever we meet, the glory will manifest because there's unity amongst us and unity of purpose. Hallelujah. The Amplified, 1 Peter 4:8 in the Amplified translation. Glory to God. 1 Peter 4:8 says what? Above all things, oh yes, above what? All things, have intense and unfailing love for one another. For love covers what? A multitude of sins. It forgives and does what? Disregards the offenses of others. So that means when somebody offends you, what are you supposed to do? Disregard it. Yeah, but I don't want to. Well, then you take that up with the head of the church. Because he said, do good for those that do what? Despitefully use you and come against you. So, Ephesians 5:1 in the New Living. If we're to do that, what is Ephesians 5:1? Imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you're his dear children. Does he love us? Yeah. He loves us. And we're to do his body is to do what? Imitate him. This is why the world doesn't see, they think it's a joke with some of the things that are going on, because they see the body. Oh yeah, they see it. And then when you want to talk about something, they go, yeah, you can talk, but look at the way you're talking and acting. And so we have to do a better job. I like the Passion Translation. It says, be imitators of God in everything you do, for then you will represent your Father as his beloved sons and daughters, and continue to walk surrendered. See, you're surrendered to what? The extravagant love of Christ, for he surrendered his life as a sacrifice for us. His great love for us was pleasing to God like an aroma of adoration, a sweet healing fragrance. You know, if we're to be imitators of God, not if, this says we're supposed to be, then I just would say this, you know, I'm not here to poke at anybody. That's certainly not my intention. And I say this with the utmost respect for you and those watching. But if we are imitators of God, and you see something on Facebook, and you out there, I know you are, you don't have to raise your hands. But if you see something and you want to say something, you want to say, okay, if I'm an imitator of God, what am I about? What I'm about ready to say or post, does this reflect him? Because if it doesn't, then you need not do it. Because we need to be the ones, you know, let's stop pointing a finger at somebody else. Let's look at each one of us and check ourselves and say, if I'm being offended by something that I see somebody, oh, they shouldn't be saying, well, if it offends you, then forgive them. Pray for them. Pray the Ephesians prayer. What did Paul work with a bunch of folks in Ephesians, in the church of Ephesus, and Galatia, and Corinthian church? Did he? Oh, yes. Did they have the revelation that he had? No. And so he had to work with some folks that didn't see like he saw. So you may see something and go, they shouldn't be doing that. Well, then, if you know better, if you know that they don't know better, do like Paul. Pray for them. Pray that they have a spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. The what? The eyes of their understanding enlightened, so that they would know what is the hope of his calling and what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and the exceeding, and they'll know the exceeding greatness of his power to them that believe. I tell you, when we get that kind of revelation, boy, we talk different, we act different, we do different. So it means that all of us haven't arrived at a place of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So let's go easy on one another. Let's pray. Let's say, oh, no, no, devil, you ain't doing this to us anymore. We are going to be a unified church. And unified in purpose, that we're going to walk in love with one another. And the power of God will operate in and through us in a greater measure. Think about John 14 and 16, and I'll read this in the King James. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he'll give you what? Another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world, what? Cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither what? Knoweth him. But you know him. You know him. You have an intimate knowledge of him. Why? It goes on. It says, for, why? He says, but you know him. Why? For he dwells in you and shall be in you. He, and then jump down to verse 21. It says, he that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. For he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will do what? Manifest myself to them. See, the scripture says you know him because why? He's in you. You're different than the world. You know him. He's in you. You know, that word, when you know something, you know, when it says Adam knew his wife. Well, it didn't say, well, hi, I know you. No, it means there was an intimate relationship between the two. When you know the Holy Spirit, that means you have an intimate relationship with him. Why? Because he now lives in me and I know him. Let's put up the Passion Translation, John 14, 21 through 23. It says, those who truly love me are those who obey my commands. It says, whoever passionately loves me will be passionately loved by my Father, and I will passionately love you in return and will manifest my life within you. Verse 22, then one of his disciples named Judas, not Judas Iscariot, said, Lord, why is it you will only reveal your identity to us and not everyone? Now listen to verse 23. Jesus replied, oh man, loving me empowers you to obey my word. Oh. And my Father will love you so deeply that we will come to you and make you our dwelling place. So loving him, obeying his word, empowers you to love. So you don't have to try to love somebody that offends you. When you love them, you're doing what God has commanded us to do. And it empowers you to love. Don't wait for some feeling. Just love. And the empowerment and the power to love comes. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. The New Living Translation. Ephesians 3, verse 14, 15, and 16, and 17, in the New Living. It says, when I think of all this, and this is Paul and his prayer to the Ephesians in chapter 3, starting in verse 14, it says, when I think of all this, I fall to my knees and pray to the Father, the creator of everything in heaven and earth. I pray that from his glorious, unlimited resources, he will empower you with inner strength through his Spirit Then Christ will make his home in your hearts and as you trust in him. See, I like this here. It says, your roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. So when you obey him, that's faith operating. Faith is operating not in what you see or feel, but faith is operated and the power of God is released. Isn't that what we all know what the word says? It says, when I operate in faith, the power of God is released. Well, this is saying here, Jesus said there, I'll empower you to love. So this is saying here that he's praying that they'll be empowered with inner strength through his spirit, and that your roots, what? Your faith roots will grow down into God's love and keep you strong. Glory to God. Praise God. First Corinthians 14 and chapter 14 and verse 1 in the New Living Translation. It says, let love be your highest goal, but you should also desire the special abilities the Spirit gives, especially the ability to prophesy. Let's look at the Amplified. 1 Corinthians 14 and verse 1. Chapter 14 and verse 1. It says, eagerly pursue and seek to acquire this love. Make it your aim, your great quest. Make it your quest that I'm going to walk in the love of God. Let's look at Galatians 5:13 in the New Living. The New Living of Galatians 5:13 says, for you have been called to do what? Live in freedom, my brothers and sisters. But don't use your freedom to satisfy your sinful nature. Instead, use your freedom to serve one another. How? In love. Verse 14. For the whole law can be summed up in this one command. Love your neighbor as yourself. Now look at verse 15. It says, but if you are always biting and devouring one another, what does it say? Watch out. Beware of destroying one another. So we're to walk in love, not bite and devour one another, not pick at one another. You may not like what you see. You know, let me ask a question. If you're a parent, do you always like what you see your children doing? No, you may not. But do you still love them? Yes, you do. And you try your best to bring them along so that they can grow up and, you know, turn out all right. But you may not like everything they choose. They may make mistakes. Did you make mistakes? Yeah, we all made mistakes. Jesus. What do they say? Before I know Christ, I was going backwards to hell. Fast. And God in his mercy snatched me out from that. You know, when we think about, I just kind of pull this thoughts together here. When we talk about being unified or focused, you know, I think about something just on a natural side. You know, I was using sports before, but look at light. When you look at light, we all don't know the parts that are made up of light, until it becomes refracted and separated. I'll give you an example. You see light, but you don't see the components of light until light is refracted and we see a rainbow. And light is unified. But when it gets refracted, we see all the parts. And so the point I'm making is here is that we're to be like him. We're to be unified in purpose, not separated. We're to work together with one common goal and purpose. We all might have different callings and different assignments, but we're to do what? Work together. Think about James 1:17. And again, this scripture came to my thinking. Every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. Put up the New Living of that. It says, whatever is good and perfect is a gift coming down to us from heaven, coming down to us from God our Father, who what? Created all the lights in heaven. He never changes or casts a shifting shadow. We're to be like him. We're to be imitators of God. What does that mean? We don't change from our purpose. We're unified, not only just as a group, as a church, but we're unified with the Word of God. If God said do this, I'm not going to change, no matter how much it may bother me. My thinking's got nothing to do with how I feel or how I see something. It's how God sees it. What did he say? He said, my thoughts are not your thoughts and my ways are not your ways. My ways are higher than your ways. So it doesn't matter what I think about something. It matters what does he think. And if he thinks a certain way, this is the way he thinks. We read it in his word. Then I'm not supposed to change from that. I'm to be unified and focused on that, no matter how I feel about it. And it may hurt, and it may bother me. But the devil's using all kinds of stuff in society to distract us and getting us to do what? Do stuff that causes us not to walk in unity and be unified of purpose. Let's look at one last scripture here, Ephesians chapter 4. Let's look at this chapter in Ephesians chapter 4. And look at verse 3. Well, let's look at verse 1. I'll just read it from verse 1 down. It says, I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you do what? You walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love. And what else? Endeavoring. That means I'm working at this. I'm endeavoring to do what? Keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. Glory to God. Now, I'm not going to read the rest of this, but you get the intent here. Look at verse 11 down. It says, and he gave some apostles and some prophets and some evangelists and some pastors and teachers for what? The perfecting of the saints. Actually, if they can, let's put this up in the New Living Translation because I like this a little better in the New Living. I'll give them a moment to get that up, starting from verse 11. Let's look at this from the New Living. It says, now these are the gifts Christ gave to the church, the apostles, the prophets, the evangelists, and the pastors and teachers. I like this. Their responsibility is to do what? Equip God's people to do what? His work and build up the church, the body of Christ. Then it goes on. And it says, this will continue until we all come to such unity in our faith and knowledge of God's Son that we will be what? Mature in the Lord, measuring up to the full and complete standard of Christ. Then it goes on, verse 14. Then we will no longer be immature like children. We won't be tossed and blown about by every wind of new teaching. We will not be influenced. By who? People who try to trick us with lies so clever they sound like the truth. Verse 15, instead we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body fit together perfectly as each part does its own special work. It helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is what? Healthy and growing and full of love. I tell you, you can see if you just step back and you look, there's been a lot of distractions that have caused us to pick at one another in some areas and in some things that are not godlike and not in compassion and love towards one another. And I'm purposing in my heart to share this, and I believe God is just, he keeps nudging me in this direction to share this, that we need to do what? Focus on his word, focus on the things of God. Let that change our thinking and our hearts. And don't be pulled with every wind of doctrine. Stay focused. You know, what does the word say? I believe it's in Timothy. Correct me if I'm wrong, but it says, preach the word in season and out of season. Well, you could say the same thing. We're to do whatever season we're walking through, stay in the Word of God. Keep, I don't care. What did Pastor Clinton used to say and other ministers? He used to say this, I don't care if you hear it from this pulpit. Look it up for yourself. Pray. If it doesn't register, chuck it out. Follow what the Word of God says. Walk in the love of God. Follow the Holy Ghost. Don't bite and devour one another, but walk in the love of God. This is what the devil wants. If we have to say, Lord, I forgive me, that was wrong, then fix it. We are going to walk in the love of God. What is the motto of this church? Where the love of God is evident, the word of God is taught, the spirit of God is directing, and what? The power of God is manifested. But it starts with love. And what is Galatians 5:6? You can go right over there. We read a little bit in Galatians 5:13, but you can back up when it says don't bite and devour one another. But you back up in 5 and verse 6, it says, your faith worketh by love. So if your faith's not working, if we're not operating, we go back and just make this final statement. when it talks about the different ministries or the different offices in the church for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, till we all come into the unity of the faith, well, if we're not unified in purpose, maybe we want to look at love. Brother Hagin used to say it for years when he was alive. He'd say, if my faith is not working, the first place I look is my love walk. And so it would be the same even for us individually, as a group, as a church, as a body. If our faith is not working properly, if we're not walking in the unity of faith and unity of purpose, then we need to look at love to get that corrected. Would you not agree? Amen. Praise the Lord. The more I meditate on this, it's helping me personally, and I believe it will help all of us to make the necessary corrections. And don't give the devil any place. Say, no, you're not having place in my life, in my love walk. I'm going to forgive those that seemingly offend me, or it's offensive, either directly or indirectly. I forgive them. And I'm going to pray for them. Amen. Glory to God. Father, we just thank you today. We determine and purpose with all purpose that we will walk unified in our purpose, walking in unity in the love of God and the purposes of God. And we thank you for it. We determine that we will not only just be hearers of the word, but we will be doers thereof. In Jesus' name, amen. Glory to God. And just before we dismiss and then we receive our offering for this morning, I would just ask that you look at your own heart and determine, and if you've missed it in an area, ask God for forgiveness today. You know, in your love walk, not just towards one another, but your love towards Him. So if I missed it in a particular area, see, he said, if you say you love me, then you will obey. Think about this from a simple worldly example. A husband and wife say, well, if you say you love me, it's not that you obey one another, but you obey the covenant that you have with each other. Is that not true? I have covenanted myself to love you and to submit myself to you. Isn't that what a marriage covenant is? And when you do that, you say, I honor that and I obey that. So God is saying, you've entered into a covenant with me. All these blessings I died for you and have provided for you, obey my word, obey the covenant. All he did was say, walk in love. Love me, love your neighbor. And so when he does that, when we say that we love him, oh, I love you, Lord, but then we don't walk in love, he said, what he's saying, 1 John, you're a liar. And so, if we need to repent, just say, God, you know, I missed it. And what does he say? If you confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you and cleanse you of all unrighteousness. And if you need to ask him into your heart, he just says, if you believe in your heart and confess with your mouth that Jesus is the Christ and that he was raised from the dead, you shall be saved. So let's do that. Father, we thank you this day. We repent if we've done things that have been aside or apart from the covenant that we have with you. If we've not walked in the love of God, we ask you to forgive us. Love towards you and love towards our brothers and sisters in Christ. And Father, this day we believe that Jesus is the Christ. He is the Savior. And he was raised from the dead. He went to hell, took my sins. And when sin was paid for, it says he and us who were buried with him were raised from the dead. Father, I believe that. And I decree this day and say with my own mouth that I've asked you, Jesus, to come into my heart. And I believe that I am saved and washed in the blood of Jesus. And I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen. So if you said that and you don't recall ever saying that before, then just let us know and we'll send you some free information as to who you've become in Christ. Glory to God. Praise God.